You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06. It is a Friday morning, November 7th, 2025. It is another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or by podcast, or watching us on social media. I know some of you have been waiting for us on social media. It's not our fault you still haven't adjusted to the time change yet, because I still haven't adjusted to the time change yet either. But we're getting there, and we'll have the weekend to recover. I got a question for you. Who's got good cheese curds? We're going to talk about that today. That's part of our question of the day. Ellie, I'm pretty sure, has that as her question for her Friday newsletter that you can get at upnorthnewswi.com, you know, because we've talked in the past about your favorite local burger place, your favorite pizza place, burger place. So I guess we're doing cheese next. And according to our readers, well, I've got a few different suggestions here. I'm looking at the newsletter right now. I'm going to rattle off some of these. But in the meantime, if you want to talk up your own hometown curds, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Tell us where we can go next time we're in your hometown and we got a hankering. And by the way, we're doing both sides of the coin here. We're doing the squeaky fresh ones. And of course, we're doing the deep fried ones, because if there's anything that should be the alternative state motto for Wisconsin, is it's we deep fry cheese here. And maybe, just maybe, now we're getting really controversial here. Maybe you only like one or the other. Maybe you're an aficionado. I know, right? And you only like the squeaky stuff, and you think the fried stuff's gross. Or maybe you're just not a fan of fresh curds, but, well, you deep fry those things, and suddenly they got some serious flavor to them. And your favorite doesn't have to be from the same place. I will go ahead and say, as I've said before, Nasonville Dairy on Highway 29 near Curtis. That's where we get a bag of curds every time for the squeaky stuff. When we're out to dinner, if we're over at, say, Wissota Lodge on Little Lake Wissota, you got to get the cheese curds along with your old-fashioned. So, Where's a guy got to go to get good curds here? Let's see. From Tony up in Ashland, one of our early risers. The local has good cheese curds, but the blueberry dipping sauce is just the best. These are deep fried, the best kind. Parker Olson is producing this in Madison Studio A2 and has a look of befuddlement on his face. Mr. Olson, good morning. You seem perplexed by the notion of deep fried cheese curds with blueberry dipping sauce.
The blueberry dipping sauce is what's tripping me up here, yeah.
I have not had it, but this is the second time that I have heard about it and heard that it is a nice surprise and that you should try it. So
okay.
I did not get up to Ashland at all this summer. I've got to fix that and get up there to the local in Ashland. Good cheese curds, blueberry dipping sauce. Let's see. Roger in Stevens Point, Goose on Main Street, G-U-U apostrophe S, has good ones. From Alicia, we've got fresh curds from Union Star in Fremont and fried cheese curds Appleton Beer Factory in Appleton. All right. Well, that's a new one. And Tony follows up on the blueberry dipping sauce. It was not just blueberry. It's very surprising. So it's what, blueberry infused, I guess you could say. So there we go. We've already got some answers coming in, all to be found from our question in today's newsletter, which you can sign up for over at upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, we have our Sunday morning one as well that we invite you to subscribe to. It has our question of the week. Will the economy be better a year from now, worse a year from now, about the same a year from now? And again, people get to answer it first who subscribe and see that question on Sunday mornings. But we'll take your answer here as well, because I've got to tabulate them all up for this weekend's newsletter, give the results, and unveil the next question of the week. So again, between the comment sections, the app that you can use from Civic Media to call us, text us, send us a voice note, what are your views on the economy 1 year from now, better, worse, or the same? Where to get some good fresh cheese curds, where to get some good deep-fried cheese curds, and anything unusual we need to know, like weird blueberry dipping sauce, maybe caught you off guard there. So let's see. Do we have Cindy and Appleton hanging around here? Let's see. Cindy, good morning. Are you with us?
I certainly am.
Okay.
Best fresh cheese curds, Simon's Cheese and Little Chute. And the best deep fried are Milwaukee Burger Companies with their Chipotle sauce.
Oh, now Chipotle sauce.
Chipotle sauce.
See, now,
really
now we've won Parker back.
Yes, there, I'm
the,
back.
The blueberry, he wasn't quite sure on, but you got him on these. So give me those again, the fresh ones.
Simon's Cheese in Little Chute.
Okay, and the deep fried?
Is Milwaukee Burger Company.
I wonder if they have, is it just the one in Appleton? I wonder, because there's one here in Eau Claire. I'll bet they've got them across the board. You've got to think so, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Do you get how often do you get the fresh ones? Are they just an occasional treat, or do you get them with some regularity?
Yeah, it's an occasional treat or something for a potluck, because I don't want to eat that whole bag of them myself. So
that's the problem.
Fair.
Yes. That's why when we pick them up in Nasonville, we still got a 3-hour drive to get to Sherry's parents out in Manitowoc County. So we always have to buy two bags, because it's like, here's the full bag. Otherwise, you have to give them like the one that's half eaten, and you don't want to do that. So, well, Cindy, thank you for the input. I hope everybody out in the Fox Valley takes that advice to heart. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks.
All right. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're asking about cheese curds, which I know it's a little early in the morning for it, but maybe not. Maybe you can work some cheese curds into your scrambled eggs, perhaps. Anyway, now that we've kind of tempted you with some cheese curd ideas, let's tell you what else is coming up on the program today. Let's see. I'll tell you who will not be here. Dr. Kristen Lyerly normally joins us on Fridays. She's in Washington, D.C., says the place is like an armed encampment, military everywhere, and she's got meetings and can't join us. So pinch hitting is our friend Matt Rothschild, who guest hosts all over the Civic Media Radio Network. You know that he ran the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign for many years, and now for Civic Media, he has the Wisconsin Forward podcast, where he takes a particular issue unique to Wisconsin, breaks it down, how did we get here, and what ideas are there to solve it. You can get the Wisconsin Forward podcast by heading over to civicmedia.us, where you can learn more about Civic Media stations, all the specific shows, maybe find a new show. There's shows that air just on the weekends, like the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show, for example, Saturdays at noon. And maybe you'll find a new podcast there as well. So civicmedia.us to get your favorite next new show. Let's see, from Tony, it's important to talk about curds early so you don't forget about the dreams you obviously had about them. Okay, so clearly we had set the table on this one yesterday by letting you know. It is also, we're going to give you a quick look at the National Day Calendar, because I couldn't get it right today, but Parker could. Parker is resplendent in a pink Dairyland, what is the team? The Madison FC something?
Madison FC.
Okay. The soccer team down in Madison there.
Tids.
So it's a lovely thing because it is national, what is it, Jersey Day?
Jersey's Day, yes.
Jersey Day, which I thought, are you sure it's not about the cows? Are we sure it's about the sports uniforms?
I mean, it could also be about the cows. You never know.
Okay. So Parker gave me a heads up saying it's National Jersey Day. If you want to wear a jersey, and that's when I realized I don't have a jersey anymore because there's a cutoff. There's a cutoff at some point, and now that I'm 61, I believe the cutoff is 60. Men in their 60s can't wear sports jerseys. Can't pull it. You're looking too much like Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite, where you're just dreaming of glory days. You know, nobody's going to mistake me for Aaron Rodgers. And that was the last jersey I had, was an Aaron Rodgers jersey. He left the team. I left the jersey. It went into a lovely pile of donations to Goodwill. And it occurred to me yesterday, I haven't bought a new one since for anybody, and probably won't. So
yeah, you know,
this Packer hoodie is as close as we're going to get today.
I can't remember who it is. There's some comedian that has a joke about wearing jerseys, and he's like, at what point does it become weird? Because like when you're a kid, you're wearing a jersey and you're like looking up to this great player or whatever it is, this guy that you're older than you, you're proud of him.
Right.
And when you're older than the guy, that's like, you're wearing a kids work
when you're
clothes.
Kind of the same age, you kind of feel like you're one of the team, you're one of the guys, and at some point when the professional athletes are young enough to be your adult children, it is it's definitely another matter. Tony writes on YouTube, if you're over 60, you can wear a jersey as long as you have a turtleneck and it's tucked into your jeans. That is definitely a sign of your age if you do that. Let's see, from Roger in Stevens Point, Cousin Subs, at least the Stevens Point location, also have good hot fresh cheese curds. Alicia writes in that Rational Revolution is on the weekends too, and Tony says Mark does a fantastic job for Rational Revolution. So we've got that as a podcast for you to follow as well. It is Friday, so we will have our Week in Review panel. That would include veteran journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, as we always look at what legal quandary is being, you know, flaunted now by the Trump administration. For example, will they come through on SNAP now that a judge yesterday said, no, you can't just make partial payments. You have to pay the whole thing and you have to do it right now. And apparently they are, because the Evers administration announced that overnight they were going to take steps to implement that court decision and make sure that the full November food share payments are given out to Wisconsinites across the state. So while I can't confirm this, theoretically, the benefit cards are restocked and people can again get basic food needs for about 700,000 Wisconsinites, including nearly 270,000 kids. Hopefully that is no longer an issue. But there's a new issue, of course, related to the Trump government shutdown, and that would be flight cancellations, because Sean Duffy, the transportation secretary, has said, in order to help Trump inflict maximum pain, that in the interest of safety, they're going to force a 10% cancellation in flights nationwide across the nation's like 30 to 40 largest airports. So already this morning, we're closing in on 1,000 flights that have already been canceled. Twin Cities International and, of course, O'Hare in Chicago are among the airports facing the cuts. And both Sean Duffy and Donald Trump say the pain is going to get worse. Here's the thing. We're going to explain this again. It doesn't have to get worse. It never had to get to this in the first place. They, Trump, Duffy, Derek Van Orden, all the rest, they have the power to help Americans to not get jerked around by health insurance companies. The money is there to continue health insurance premium supports. They just don't want the money to go there. They want the money to go to tax cuts for billionaires. Oh, and now trillionaires. The headline in the New York Times, Elon Musk wins a $1 trillion pay package from Tesla. This is what they want. They want all the rich guys, the Ron Johnsons and the other multimillionaires in Congress and the lackeys like Derek Van Orden, who went from shining boots to licking them. This is what they want. A trillionaire proves that they, too, can get fabulously wealthy someday. Where does it come from? The money that you paid in taxes and is not any longer going to affordable health care or paying air traffic controllers. We're going to talk about this week's elections next with Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil and my colleague Sean Kitchen from Courier's The Keystone in Pennsylvania. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back on this Friday morning. It is 6:22 now. It is time, of course, to welcome in Courier Newsroom's national political editor, Kia Vakil. Kia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I am well. I'm glad it's Friday.
I'm glad it's Friday, but it's been a good week for a Friday, and we've got company this time. Another one of my Courier Newsroom colleagues, Sean Kitchen from the Keystone State. Oh, that's the name of the publication, the Keystone. Sean, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Pat. How are you?
Doing good. I mean, you've had one busy week there, and so we're going to talk to you about Supreme Court races and billionaires, something we know about here in Wisconsin, in just a minute. But Kia, let's start with you first. You're just your general overview now that we're a couple of days removed, so that maybe we don't read too much into this, or should we read a lot into it because it was a big statement?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, I think it was a big statement. I mean, I think everyone thought the environment generally favored Democrats, but I don't know that even the most optimistic Democrat or operative would have said that Abigail Spanberger would win by 15 points in Virginia, or that Mikey Sherrill would win by, last I looked, I think it was 13 points in New Jersey, or that Virginia Democrats would flip 13 seats in the House of Delegates, or that we'd win, that they'd win two statewide races in Georgia. And just, you know, up and down the line all across the country, obviously you saw Zohran Mamdani win the New York mayoral race, which was not necessarily unexpected, but doing so impressively amid an onslaught of spending against him and just, you know, an insane amount of right-wing propaganda, fear-mongering. You just saw the Democratic candidates win, whether they were from the more moderate wing or from the more like leftist progressive wing. It was a complete bloodbath for Republicans, especially when you look more granularly at the local level, which I think Sean will get into in a minute. But, you know, anywhere you look, it was just a total bloodbath.
You bet. And Sean, this is not to take anything away from all of that, but, you know, as we look at each of these individual races, of course, like Kia said, there are granular things there as well. And it certainly caught my eye in Pennsylvania that you had state Supreme Court justices up for re-election. And when I read that a single billionaire was trying to take down these progressive justices, I had to learn more. Tell me about the billionaire and the races. How did this all get going?
We had three justices up for retention this year. And the way Pennsylvania has it with our Supreme Court race is judges get elected to 10-year terms in Pennsylvania. And then after their 10th year, they have a yes or no retention vote to face another 10-year term. And we had three Democratic Supreme Court justices win in 2015 that flipped control of the court. And with that, Democrats were able to control the gerrymandering process or the redistricting process here in Pennsylvania. And it was able to really break insane Republican gerrymanders in the U.S. House and in the state legislature. So with that in mind, we have a billionaire here in Pennsylvania. His name is Jeffrey Yass. He's worth about like $65.7 billion. Because he is the largest investor in TikTok, the largest American investor in TikTok.
Okay.
And his main, the main reason why he's involved in politics is basically to undermine public education and promote charter schools and vouchers.
But then there was essentially a mobilization effort. First, you had to recognize this is what was happening. And then there were, it sounds to me like there are people and groups pretty much dedicated just to watch this guy.
Yes. There are progressive organizations, coalitions in the state, Working Families Party, wide-ranging groups from like 1PA, Working Families Party, and then you have environmental organizations that are involved in tracking this guy's spending and raising awareness of how much money he's spending on a year-to-year basis. He has spent somewhere close to like $80 or $90 million in Pennsylvania races since 2018, which is just an insane amount to think about. And that money goes to anyone running for statewide offices, governor, attorney general, the auditor general, all the way down to state reps and school board members.
But you were able to follow it, expose it. We are certainly no strangers to that in Wisconsin with Dick and Liz Eline from the Uline Company, Wisconsin billionaires who now live in the Chicago area, Diane Hendricks from ABC Supply in Beloit, certainly John Menard, another billionaire here, has made political inroads with his donations. So, Kia, now that having heard what Sean and Pennsylvania voters did, We know how billionaires have spent lavishly in Wisconsin. We managed to stave off Elon Musk with the last state Supreme Court race, but can the success in Pennsylvania be replicated again in 2026 with this kind of observation, public observation of what billionaires are doing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you see voters of all stripes really, really hate how much billionaires fund our elections. And look, it happens on for both parties, but on the right, it really happens in a way that's like particularly nefarious, because you have these, like Jeffrey asked, you have these people who want to decimate public schools, who want religious charter school, religious schools or charter schools to get vouchers, using public funding to pay for private school tuition. You have folks who have all sorts of self-interested projects, and they donate to get those projects off the ground. I think we'll see more of that in 26 until we get actual, you know, Citizens United overturned, until we get actual campaign spending limits. This isn't going to go away. We're seeing it in Michigan and Texas. I'm certain we'll see it in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania next year. I think you'll see probably the most expensive Senate race in U.S. history next year in North Carolina. It's going to be a complete, just a fire hose of money.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, no disrespect toward a Better Wisconsin Together, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, the others that have been trying to call attention to this big money. But I think you need an even more focused effort just to let voters know about these great big checkbooks that are out there trying to buy our elections. To read more about how they did it in Pennsylvania and Sean Kitchen's reporting, head over to KeystoneNewsroom.com. And of course, Kiev Akil over at CourierNewsroom.com. Gentlemen, thank you very much. I appreciate the insight. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you.
We've got today's history lesson coming up right after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. History lesson begins with a little Johnny Rivers.
Sounds like you got Rivers to me.
Yep. A little rockin' pneumonia, a little boogie woogie flu for Johnny Rivers' birthday today, number 83 for him. Happy birthday to him, to music legend Joni Mitchell, who is 82 years old today, and not yet a music legend, Ella Yelich O'Connor, otherwise known as Lord. She's 29 years old today. Welcome to today's history lesson. It's Friday. It means we welcome in to wild applause, Greg Bach, ladies and gentlemen. Greg Bach.
Hi, everybody. Hello. Happy Friday.
Yep. That was a round. That was a rousing round of applause there for you. Anyway, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's Lord's birthday. Really fun fact about that. I went to see Lord in concert many years ago because the rap group Run the Jewels was opening for her, and I had no idea who Lord was outside of the one song.
Yep.
And as soon as the lights went out for her set to begin, I realized I was surrounded by a basketball arena full of girls between the ages of 14 and 17.
Yes.
And I said to my friend, I feel like we're at a slumber party we shouldn't be at right now.
Oh, God.
I felt so weird. I'm like, I feel like people probably think I'm a cop.
But isn't that quite the nice surprise that you know somebody is an up-and-comer when they're the opening act, but a whole bunch of fans show up? That happened to me once was it Bonnie Raitt or somebody else, or Mary Chapin Carpenter, whatever it was, and the Bodines were opening up.
Yeah.
And the Bodines were just kind of ascendant, and the crowd was mostly Bodines fans at that point, which was pretty cool.
It was a fun show. We stayed for about 10 minutes. I'm like, I think we can go, right? We can go. And we went. Yeah.
Wow. Well, speaking of Ms. Raitt, she turns 76 years old tomorrow. Another one of those albums. I don't know why you don't have it in your collection yet. go get Nick of Time. Just do.
Pat loves to talk about Nick of Time, Parker. He loves that record. He thinks it's a perfect record.
It's a perfect record.
I feel like
76 years old today for Bonnie Raitt. Chef Gordon Ramsay is 59 years old tomorrow. 59 for Gordon Ramsay. Just every so often a birthday comes up and I go, well, I look younger than that guy. But I also didn't spend my life in a high-pressure kitchen, you know, throwing knives at people. So I can see where that would
age
somebody.
He just sits
on
his couch and does that.
Yeah.
I hate the TV. It's terrible programming.
Sing. I don't even know that I've ever actually watched a program with Gordon Ramsay.
Really?
You know, maybe a bit of one, but maybe not entirely. So definitely, I'm not saying I don't like him. I'm just saying I've never been like a fan. Or would either one of you call yourself a regular viewer of whatever it is he does?
I go on like a kick here and there of watching a bunch of stuff of him, like Kitchen Nightmares. I would watch a little bit of, particularly like in high school at some point. I did that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Tony says, Gordon Ramsay, 59, but the rage of a three-year-old. Yes, that is his claim to fame here. Let's see. Happy birthday to, am I going to say this right this year? Last year, I think I said Sia instead of SZA, but SZA is 35 years old today.
I was going to say, because C is a whole different person.
It's whole different. Whole different. You can't mix those up and feel like, yeah.
Oh. No. This is SZA.
Yes. This is SZA, yes. And this is Kill Bill, number 3 on the list of best-selling songs of 2023.
Wow.
And native of St. Louis and has had 5 Grammy nominations so far, and I would not be surprised if there were more down the road. On this day in 1943... was the last scoreless tie in the NFL. Final score, the Detroit Lions 0, the New York Giants 0. Now, it was the 73rd time that an NFL game ended in a 0-0 tie, but there have been no 0-0 ties since 1943.
I feel like when the Packers had that tie a month ago or so, I feel like I got led into a world I had no idea about when it comes to the NFL and ties and overtime. And it's like, it should just be play 5 more minutes. Whoever has more after that, they win, go home. This is very convoluted and weird.
Yes. I mean, ties are just, I mean, I'm really glad the NHL added the shootout.
Yeah.
It was very tough to walk away from a hockey game and go, that's it, 1-1 or 0-0.
They should do that with football. They should have the kickers go out and see how far they can kick from.
Well, or at least just take up the college rule. The college rule, you can play that back and forth over and over again until somebody, you know, gets a genuine score.
Yeah. And what it used to be, too. It used to be whoever scored first, that was it. Done. We're going home. See ya.
Yes.
Well, that was unfair, though. That was.
I don't like that either.
Yeah. No. Let's see. I've got reaction here from Luke Mathers, who says, Pat, you would love Gordon Ramsay's shows. His snark has an accent. He's brutal to folks and really sweet to kids on MasterChef Junior.
True.
I feel like maybe he is a kindred spirit with me after all. Tony writes on YouTube, college overtime is the best overtime. I'm still going to say hockey shootouts, but yes, college football definitely has a better overtime than the pros.
We are going to introduce hockey shootouts to the NCAA football season next year. We don't know how it will work, but
with a hockey stick, you've got to get that football through the uprights. Yeah. You got a Happy Gilmore that thing.
It's if we can just put 38 teams in the Big Ten, we can do anything we want.
There you go.
On this day in 1981, the number one hit was by Hall & Oates. Such rhythm we have here. That was their third number one hit after Rich Girl and Kiss on My Lips. They would later hit the top of the charts with I Can't Go For That, Man Eater, and Out of Touch. But this one was from 1981. On this day in 1805, the Lewis and Clark expedition reached the Pacific Ocean at the mouth of the Columbia River 18 months after it had set off from near St. Louis.
And Lewis turned to Clark, shrugged his shoulders, and goes, that it? All right.
All right, let's go back. And the thing is, they did. They went all the way back because what else are you going to do at that point?
They didn't even have a gift shop here.
I know. Let's see. On this day in 1983, the Rolling Stones released their 19th studio album. The title track is still one of my favorite Rolling Stones songs, Undercover. Hit this is, forgive the cliche, but this is one of those songs. We're not doing it justice. The only way to play Under Cover of the Night by the Stones is on 11. There's just no other way to look. You can't just, I'm just going to listen to it really soft in the background. Yeah. No, nope, can't do it. On this day in 1967, President Lyndon Johnson signed a bill establishing the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. R.I.P. Yes, how we've come. I've got plenty of other political notes here in just a bit because it's November and there's a lot of election days, so stick around for that. But first, another song. This day in 1987, the number one hit was a remake of a Tommy James and the Shondells tune by an up-and-coming 16-year-old named Tiffany. On this day in 1913, you talk about the gales of November. We're going to be talking about the Edmund Fitzgerald a lot on Monday. But on this day in 1913 in November, a Great Lakes storm later nicknamed the White Hurricane brought 90-mile-an-hour winds and 35-foot waves over a three-day period. The storm would sink 19 ships, damage 19 more, more than 250 lives lost as a result. On this day in 1922, the anniversary of the birth of trumpet player Al Hurt, and everybody has heard some kind of an Al Hurt ditty at some point in their lives.
This song qualifies as wacky.
Things that we just think now is like background music, or you know, it's something that you'd put behind the Muppets or something. And yet this was like a big hit in 1963 for Al Hurt, who was nicknamed the Round Mound of Sound.
Can you bring it up just a little bit, Parker, just a tiny bit? I want to try something here. You've reached Morrison Dental. Thank you for your call. If this is an emergency, please dial 911 immediately. There he is. Okay, cool.
Yep.
It feels like back music to Tom and Jerry. I feel like I'm supposed to watch a mouse and a cat fight.
It warms my heart that Parker just made a Tom and Jerry reference.
I know. Look, he's coming along. We are aging him.
Parker, that was not an insult. I was not making fun of you.
I know that.
I can see your body tensed up right there.
No.
I'm happy about that.
I am too. Oh, thank you, Greg. Yesterday, I went out to lunch with Zomers, and Tom and Jerry was on one of the TVs, and we were having a great time watching.
I would like to have seen that. It'd be like walking into a daycare center, but for young adult men who still like cartoons. Because I'm one of them. I mean, not the young part anymore, but I'd sit and watch Tom and Jerry for an hour.
We were upset that it was the new version because the animation doesn't look as good.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. You got to go with the classics.
Then there was a Scooby-Doo on after. I wanted to stay there all day.
And someday you will. We call that retirement. And then you get your applesauce. They're getting all that ready for me right now at Shady Acres, you know?
And one day you can. They're hiring. So. Yeah.
All right. Lots of early November election notes to pass along. It was on this day in 2000. Al Gore got more votes than George W. Bush, but nobody knew what was going on in Florida. All we had was NBC's Tim Russert, first to note on his little whiteboard where he wrote, Florida, Florida, Florida. Florida, boy, did that turn out to be the key. On that same day, First Lady Hillary Clinton became the first woman to win elected office while First Lady. On this day in 1916, Jeanette Rankin of Montana became the first woman elected to Congress. Now, a little deja vu on this day in 2017. It was Trump's first year in office of his first term, and Democrats dominated, winning the governor's races in Virginia, New Jersey, and elsewhere. Deja vu. And then in 2020, this day was 4 days after Election Day, when Joe Biden was about to be declared the winner over Trump, and Rudy Giuliani held the infamous Trump campaign press conference. God. At the Four Seasons. No, not that Four Seasons, not the hotel. Four Seasons Total Landscaping in Philadelphia.
I bought a t-shirt. When that happened, Four Seasons did the right thing. They leaned in and took advantage. I bought a t-shirt from them. It was amazing.
It was the best. It really was. Seeing Pam Bondi and some of the others just standing there, it was... I mean, that was just chef's kiss for political theater. I mean, what more could you want? All right. We've only got time for just a quick National Day calendar thing. We mentioned it's National Jersey Day. I don't have a jersey. It's why I've got the Packer hoodie. And Greg, we didn't tell you've got jerseys. Yes.
I've got jerseys. I just washed a bunch of my Brewers jerseys. They're at home right now, not being worn for Jersey Day. Thank you, someone. I shall lodge a complaint.
I feel like Parker, that might be directed at me.
This is an expat.
That's right. Still to come, it is our Week in Review panel, which includes former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. And why is that important from the National Day calendar, Parker?
It's Love Your Lawyer Day.
It's National Love Your Lawyer Day. So we're going to share some love for Jim Santel and all that he does for us here at the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. It's a Friday morning, November 7th, 6:52 right now. Pat Kreitlow here in Chippewa Falls. Parker Olson in Madison and Greg Bach joining us from Radio Park in Racine. And from the mailbag here, we were talking earlier about this being National Jersey Day, the shirt, not the animal. And Leaf puts up here on YouTube, grown-ups don't wear jerseys, but no one really likes grown-ups. I have no interest in being one whatsoever. Alicia puts
that was everywhere.
It says, hey, I'm 41 and planning to get a Navy jersey for the Army-Navy game. Good call. You go. Absolutely. I mean, you're in the Navy. You know, you're a veteran. You get to wear that as much as you want. And let's see, I had one on the text line here as well. From Jim in Brookfield, good morning, Pat. Thank you for being a voice of reason regarding sports jersey protocol. Yes, there is a past your shelf life look to older men in jerseys. When I hit the 6-0, I gave away the jerseys, got on my bike, and rode 60 miles. It was time to turn over a new leaf.
Wait, okay, all right. Hold on a second. The voice of reason. I feel like I missed a part of the conversation here. It happened earlier in the show.
Yes, it did. That I don't have a jersey anymore. When Parker mentioned to me, but apparently not to you, that it's National Jersey Day. And I thought, I wonder, did I still have that? I had an Aaron Rodgers jersey, but I was pretty sure I got rid of it when Rodgers left. And I did, as it turned out. So that's why I've got a Packer hoodie on. It's the next best thing. But I made the point that I also feel like 60 is you look silly now with if you're wearing a sports jersey. And Jim in Brookfield is simply saying, yeah, when he turned 60, he really turned over a new leaf. He got rid of his jersey. He went biking 60 miles to, you know, try to get, you know, stay healthy, and good for him on all those things. I just know that not everybody agrees that, you know, I can never wear a jersey again. And that's really what it comes down to. It really is all about me, Greg, is can I wear a jersey again at my age?
I was going to say something, but you just wouldn't stop talking, actually, honestly. It was just kept going and going and going on this topic. I'm just kidding. I love you very much. No, I disagree. I think you can wear a jersey whenever you want. It's fine. If you are a 60-year-old trying to wear a jersey to your professional job, then we need to have a chat. But if it's Sunday and you're enjoying the day and you're doing some yard work, you got your jersey on you, I think that's fine. I don't think there's a – I have never in my life heard anyone make this claim that at a certain age you can't wear jerseys. I think, Pat, if you want to wear a jersey, you wear a jersey. I understand why you got rid of the Aaron Rodgers jersey, because
but I wonder whether to get one for Love. And there's Tony on YouTube saying never too old for Love. Couldn't agree more, Tony, but I think he means the jersey.
I feel like it depends on which sport we're talking about. Like, hey, a baseball jersey?
Can we not
jersey?
Say depends when we're talking about a guy in their 60s, please? Our wardrobes are tough enough as they are.
I think the baseball jersey is the most acceptable.
Remember when they tried to go after the youthier market by getting, like, professional athletes? And I think Clay Matthews was a spokesman for Depends for a moment.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's not, and by the way, that's not me laughing at people who need that. if you need that, that's your life, and I support your journey. Do your thing. Yes. I'm just saying. I was just like, man, they're trying to. I've never seen them go after the youth market.
No, but things happen, and you get, especially when you get to an age where you use this line that you never thought you'd use. Oh, you see that urologist too? Great, great. Thank
I've heard good things about him.
Let's see. Now, John in Oshkosh, oh, he takes a point of view here. To me, wearing a jersey is not as bad as wearing a cheesehead, though. Real Packer fans don't wear cheeseheads.
Ooh.
Wow, John. Whoa. That was a take.
Do you feel like John's trying to pick a fight right now?
I like it. I'm here for it. Maybe there are people that are, I mean, we're just so used to it. Yeah. Maybe he's the one who's first coming up to go, maybe this has run its course and we don't need to wear silly pieces of cheese on our head. Now, I don't agree, but maybe there are more like John and he was just brave enough to say it first. Or John is in for a mountain of derision after this. Either way, we'll see who writes in and calls in.
I love that word, derision.
Oh, thank you. Oh, Tony, that was a squeaky hot take. Thank you, Tony. Very well done. Hey.
I personally feel like when it comes to the cheese hat, it's like I would wear one at a Packers game for a little bit, then I'd probably hand it off to me like, here, you can wear this. But also it's a thing of we can do it, but the moment you use a cheese head hat as a point of making fun of us, that's when it's on and I'm not happy.
Yes. Because
I'm like, we're more than that. You know that. Take that off. You don't understand.
That's right. One more note on the National Day calendar. This is National Cancer Awareness Day. And to that end, Greg and I, who are the official spokesmen for Men's Health on Civic Media, the ones who talked all of you into getting a CPAP machine when the That's time right. is right for you, are here on the cancer awareness front. Hey, Greg, anything on your calendar coming up?
This weekend, I begin my prep as of today. Start my prep for my colonoscopy on Monday. So
okay.
I'll be getting my screening because it's time. I'm in an age where the doc says it's time for you to do that. I said, absolutely, let's do this. I got the weird liquid at home. I'm going to start doing that on Sunday. And everyone keeps on saying, you'll be fine. I'm like, I know, I'll be fine. I'm not scared.
No.
I'm here for it. Let's do this.
I'm terribly sorry. I'm terribly sorry for what you're about to go through, though.
No.
You
sleep. I've had
that
two of them.
Sucks. Yeah.
I had mine recently. Yeah. And they are extremely important, and the prep is just what it is. Everybody's had the stomach flu before, and it's not even quite like that. So
I'm not worried about it. I'm not scared about it. I'm the only thing I am hesitant, but have nerves over is doing everything correctly as far as the diet from today till Monday, doing the prep correctly, making sure that I don't walk in there and they say, well, you didn't do it right, so get out and we're still going to charge you.
Yes. And that's, you know, one of Sherry's frustrations is you prep for a surgery and then they come in and say, oh, the patient didn't know and they had a piece of toast or something. It's like, no, it's right there. Don't eat or drink anything, not even toast, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, you are right to follow the directions and to be a good, compliant patient. We'll hear more about this on Matt and Air on Air. Probably not that, but other cooler stuff with Greg Bach and Jane Matt and Air, who had that big news retirement, well deserved after all these years. So tune in to Jane and Greg today, 9 to 11. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, my friends. Always wonderful talking to you.
It's always great seeing you, too. Have a good weekend. Coming up next, we will have our Week in Review panel, of course. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.